You are locked in to Locked On Badgers on a Wednesday afternoon slash Thursday, whenever you are listening. Thank you for making this podcast part of your day. Alongside Ben Kenny, my name is Asher Lowe, and this is the show that brings you all things Wisconsin Badger sports, football and basketball specifically. And of course, we over at BadgersWire.com for USA Today Sports and right here on the Locked On Badgers podcast are ramping up for the start of football season, 10 days away from Wisconsin having fans back at Camp Randall, from Wisconsin playing their biggest season opener in a while against Penn State, a conference rival. We can't wait. Make sure, well, we get you ready for this week. You know when episodes are coming out by following us on Twitter at @ALOW_33, at Benzie Kenny, and at Locked On Badgers, the show account, and on Spotify, giving us a follow, on Apple, making sure you subscribe so you know whenever episodes are dropped, wherever you get your podcasts. Ben, we are doing positional previews as we ramp up for game week, and we're going to both sides of the ball today, or sorry, back to the offensive side of the ball after spending a ton of time on the defensive side. We're talking two different offensive positions, very different positions, but both very, very important to Wisconsin's success. I would probably say, outside of Mertz, two of the most important positions in this offensive unit.
Yeah, before we start, you mentioned 10 days, like the juices are flowing. Asher, I'm going to be down at Red Zone before every game with the zone, doing the pregame show down there. I can't wait for the atmosphere to watch this team play football. It marks my favorite time of year, but two, I've talked myself into so many expectations with this team that now I need to see it all go out and happen. And yes, these two positions, we're talking offensive line today. We're talking wide receiver slash tight end, just overall the people who catch the football. Those two positions are some of the most pivotal, obviously next to running back, which we'll get into. Asher, there are also two positions that have been plagued by injury a little bit since training camp has begun.
Yeah, two positions also that aren't quite as set in stone as others. I know running back's not quite set in stone, but I think we kind of know it's going to be almost all Berger and Malusi. Quarterback, obviously set in stone. The offensive line's usually pretty standard at Wisconsin in terms of what you're coming into the year with. Usually it's set. Usually it's consistent. Not quite that way this year, or at least hasn't been that way in preseason and in camp. And wide receiver, yes, you have your seniors coming back, so it's pretty set as to who's going to start, but I think you could see a bunch of different guys possibly getting those second, third level reps after Danny Davis and Kendrick Pryor, Ben. And I'm excited to see which young guys, whether it be DK's going to get a bunch, but whether it be Devin Chandler, whether it be a Skylar Bell, whether it be Marcus Allen, whether it be AJ Abbott, who knows of these lesser repped guys. Some are young, some are not so young, but all of those guys have in common they haven't had many Wisconsin reps on the field. Who knows who's going to step forward? So I think a very fun position to talk about, but we'll start with the offensive line, because that's been kind of the talk of preseason, I would say, at least.
Yes. All right. So it's miniature story time. So back in the spring, offensive line coach Joe Rudolph released his kind of two deep slash starting lineup at that point in time. That's what the offensive line was lining up to be. And there was obviously a lot of hype around Logan Brown, former five-star recruit. Where would he land? So this was his starting five at that point, spring ball. He had Tyler Beach starting at left tackle with Logan Brown in his backup. He had Josh Seltzner at left guard. Cormac Sampson is his backup. Then you have Caden Lyles and Tanner Bordellini there at center. You move to right guard, Jack Nelson and Michael Furtney. Right tackle, Logan Bruss and Trey Wiedig. So that was how it lined up. And that's kind of what we projected it to be throughout the offseason. And things have changed. Now, one of the names to highlight along there has been Jack Nelson, who just has a meteoric rise to starting. He came into the program, was listed on the two deep last year as a freshman, and now he's projected to start. But thanks to an injury to Tyler Beach, starting left tackle, he had foot surgery right before training camp started. We've seen a lot of guys get snaps along the line. So Jake Kokorowski tweeted 5 days ago during one of their practices.
Shout out, Jake.
Shout out, Jake, the boy. Their first team offensive line. Now you're going to notice something a little odd, aside from the lack of Tyler Beach, was Cormac Sampson at left tackle. And that's also because Logan Brown has been battling injury, but he still figures to back up. Seltzner at left guard, Joe Tippmann at center, Jack Nelson at right guard, and then Logan Bruss at right tackle. Do you notice one little weird nugget from that?
I do. Give it to the people.
Joe Tippmann is looking like he is battling with Caden Lyles, a two-year starter, to start at center. And
out of nowhere, by the way, I think nobody thought that this would be a battle coming in 4 months ago.
Absolutely. And this is – it tells me two things. It tells me, number one, that Lyles is somehow way behind, which I don't believe. He's been a really solid player. It tells me that Tippmann just has impressed so much that they've made it impossible for him not to be thrown in there at first team. So he's looking like the starting center over two-year starter Caden Lyles. And the thing is, when you have a unit that's obviously Wisconsin, it's talented, but it's also really deep. You could look at a lot of the backups and say those could be starters. You're fine with the decision and you're confident with where the line stands. The only question I have is Tyler Beach's health. He had foot surgery. All of the talk from him and around is that he will be ready for the opener. He said recently that he only needs a week to get ramped up and like get in game shape. So he's been pretty much on the sideline all training camp. That would be my question. But aside from that, it's a unit as usual. You have two experienced studs at the tackle positions. And now you have Tippmann, who's really impressed at center. Seltzner, solid guy at left guard. And then Jack Nelson, who I mentioned, who was on the two deep last year, is only a true freshman. Now he's already starting. So like once you see rises like that, similar to a rise like Tippmann, I guess, it indicates more stellar play from those guys than a lack thereof from other people that they might be battling with.
Yeah, and I think that we should talk a little bit about, although they're not going to be huge pieces this year, they're probably not going to play this year, barring a ton of injuries. There's a lot of hype in terms of the depth of the young guys in this group. And it's not a position where not only Wisconsin, but most college football teams will throw in a true freshman. Even a sophomore that barely played as a freshman usually doesn't get thrown in here into offensive line positions in the Power Five. It's usually senior guys. Seniority almost always wins, I feel like, in a close battle at this position specifically. Although, Riley Malman, right? Whether it be Trey Weedy, who you mentioned, a lot of guys to get excited about, obviously, Mr. Nolan Rucci. There's a ton of guys to get excited about in this group that we're going to see over the next few years.
Yeah, and last thing on Logan Brown. The reason he's not already a starter, a former five-star, we've seen a rise like that before from someone of that talent. I think he still has some work to do in pass protection. You see his frame and you see his physicality moving downhill. And I'm talking about Duke's Mayo Bowl specifically when we saw him out there for extended period of time. He's still a little raw in pass protection. And when you have two seniors, two experienced guys in Bruss and Beach, that makes a lot of sense for the bookend tackles. So yeah, it's going to be a really strong group. They're not the level of Iowa. They don't have a Tyler Linderbaum on there, who's just like a surefire NFL stud, but it's going to be a really solid group. And especially so after last year, saw a lot of moving around and a lot of questions up there.
Yeah. I don't think it's your best Wisconsin offensive line we've seen in the decade, but that's a pretty crazy standard to go off of because Wisconsin's been at the top of college football at this position for a long, long, long time. Today's episode is brought to you by betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. BetOnline is the one place to go right now that you should go to bet on Wisconsin -4.5 against Penn State, possibly take some Illinois-Nebraska action, the first Big Ten game of the year. I'll be watching UCLA-Hawaii, but that's a different story. You can also bet on UCLA-Hawaii. Why not? Game of the year, really. And it's happening in week zero. Can't believe it. Get all the updated odds, props, contest over at betonline.ag. Take advantage of the college football deals. Take advantage of their opening day super promo for NFL football, Ben. As the champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys go head-to-head, you will get your wager refunded up to $25 for new customers. So essentially a free bet right there on NFL opening night. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. BetOnline, use the promo code LOCKEDON right now, LOCKEDON, for 50% added to your initial deposit. Locked on is the code. BetOnline.ag is the website. All right, let's get in to the wide receivers, and then we'll finish off talking tight end. But I think a position that obviously hurt Wisconsin last year, not because they didn't produce, but because they weren't on the field. And that's in the senior tandem of Danny Davis and Kendrick Pryor, two guys that, due to COVID and injuries combined, were held out for much of last year. Of course, the most memorable example in my head has always been that Northwestern game where literally 30 minutes before kick, all of a sudden, you had Graham Mertz being thrown out there against a really, really, really elite defense last year, Northwestern's defense, without his wide receivers, Danny Davis and Pryor, both ruled out right before that game. It was moments like that that kind of defined Wisconsin's season last year. And this is a position that I think is underratedly essential to Wisconsin's success. And it's a position that I think has the opportunity to possibly surprise more than any other in this offense in terms of where expectations are. I think this could be a really, really good wide receiver tandem when you have the amount of snaps and experience combined between Davis and Pryor and a guy like DK. And we've been talking a little bit about, Ben, how the injuries might be a blessing in disguise this year, or the COVID issues might be a blessing in disguise this year, because Chimere Dike and Jack Dunn and even Devin Chandler at the end of the year had reps and meaningful reps at that.
Yeah, it'll be big. And I, especially those top two guys being back, will also be a blessing for DK because he's no longer going to be viewed at by other defenses as the number one wide receiver, which he was for Wisconsin down the stretch of the year. The biggest headline to look at here, where we stand right now, is that Danny Davis has been injured throughout training camp. He's dealing with a head injury. He hasn't practiced. You're not concerned about the fact that he hasn't practiced. You're concerned about the fact that it was a head injury that cost him much of last season. And we know the nature of head injuries is that they tend to get, like, once you have more, they tend to get worse. I believe Kendrick Pryor, it was, who was talking after practice recently, he said that Davis will be fine for the opener. So like Beach, and Paul Chris didn't sound concerned either, but like Beach, he's set for the opener. That's a storyline to watch because, I mean, if he's down, then it's just more the same from last year. But yeah, Kendrick Pryor to me is the number one on this unit. I think he's a little more well-rounded than Davis, and we've seen his connection with Mertz maybe different from that deep bomb we saw to Davis against Illinois week one. That's our only base point to when all of them have been on the field together. But Pryor was that more consistent receiver connecting with Mertz. So he's my number one, if you will, but Davis, the other guy on the outside. You have DK, who impressed, and his role will only increase as he gets less attention from opposing defenses. We know what Jack Dunn is. He'll be fine in relief and on third down situations when Wisconsin spreads it out. But one youngster that, and we've talked about Devin Chandler on the show a good amount. One youngster that I've heard a lot of good things about is Marcus Allen, a freshman who just came in. He committed to Michigan, decommitted, and he's not cracking your initial two deep, but he's turning heads in his first training camp of college.
So Danny Davis, by the way, just a quick update on him. As of August 9th, said he was healthy in a post-game presser, or sorry, a post-practice presser, said he was healthy and that he was ready to go out there and be 100% come week one. So he looks to be good to go for Penn State. No real issues there. Shouldn't be any snap limitations there. Think he's good to go. And the combination of Davis and Pryor should be thrown out there week one against Penn State. All indications are leading to that. So we talked about Devin Chandler. Yes, you mentioned Marcus Allen's name. I want to talk a little bit more about Devin Chandler, though, and then get into Chimere Dike, because I know you did a pretty deep dive into DK and to some things you saw with him last year. But Devin Chandler really impressed me in limited snaps last year towards the end of the year, where Wisconsin had some big injury issues, like we said. But he appeared in four games and ended up having not only a couple catches, had some kick returns, looked pretty good there as a returner. So he's a guy that could be used in a bunch of different ways. I think he was used on a jet sweep at least once, Ben, a pretty decent jet sweep, I remember, last year. So I think that he's a guy that can give you chunk plays, a guy that can do a little bit of everything, whether it be giving it to him on a jet sweep, which Wisconsin likes to run quite a bit of. They've ran it a lot the last couple of years. Paul Chris back to calling plays, and I think we'll see him used in some creative ways this year. Even if it's not lining up at receiver all the time, I think we'll see him as a returner. We'll see him possibly on some jet sweep action. And then I think a little bit as a receiver too.
Definitely. He should make his biggest impact this year returning kicks. We saw him really flash in that role last season. And yeah, every time he's touched the ball, it's been for chunk plays. And I remember in the Indiana game last year, he was even open a couple times. And this is when Mertz was really struggling with his rhythm and timing, and the connection just wasn't there. But he did, when you looked at that group last season of A.J. Abbott and Devin Chandler and DK and Dunn, pretty much the group that Wisconsin had to roll out there, Devin Chandler did pop off the screen as someone who that maybe is better than that rank all the way down in the depth chart, having to play when no one else was available. And he's young, so I'm excited and super athletic.
I got one for you. I got a bold prediction for you. You gave us one last episode about the linebackers, and that got posted.
I don't think that was that bold.
I don't think it was either, but people are lower. But people are lower on this team than we are. Like,
I don't get it.
Like, I don't really get it either. I'll be honest. I generally don't think anything we've done is that biased. Like, I think that it's pretty obvious that this team is going to be really damn good. Like, I think it's pretty obvious.
It just all hinges on Mertz.
It does. It does. My bold prediction, though, that you will see, and this one's bold. This one's bolder than yours.
All right.
You will see Devin Chandler this year take a kickoff to the house.
All right.
You will see Devin Chandler take a kickoff to the house. And I'll replay this moment when he does it on the first kickoff of the season. Okay, I don't know about that. But you will see Devin Chandler at some point this year, probably at home because the juices is flowing, the keys are clacking. You know how it is. You will see Devin Chandler take a kick to the house. That's my bold prediction for this show. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the game. 9 delicious flavors: coconut, almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. There's something for everyone. You know what, Ben? How about this? If Devin Chandler takes a kick to the house, I'll send a Locked On Badgers listener a Built Bar mix box.
Done.
How about that?
Locked in.
We're all rooting for it. I will personally send you a Built Bar mixed box, courtesy of Ben and I and Locked On Badgers, all the good folks here, if Devin Chandler returns a kick to the house. So now everyone's on that hype train. Here we go. Built Bar, by the way, you're not only getting great flavors in a mixed box, you're getting 2 of each of those 9 flavors I just mentioned. You're also getting bars that have 17 to 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams net carbs, 9 amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Order today, get that raspberry mint brownie, get whatever you like over at BuiltBar.com. BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your first order. LOCKED15, 15% off your first order. You can also use promo code ROOT for Devin Chandler to kick or return a kickoff, and you'll get a free mixed box. But BuiltBar.com is the place to go to get your mixed box before we send one out. Let's finish it off talking a little bit about Jamari DK and then talking some Jake Ferguson. Ben, you watched a lot of DK film. You had some good and some bad this year you took away from his snaps. Where do you see him going in year 2?
So, I mean, there isn't a lot of places he can go but up. And we've sounded like a broken record saying how valuable the experience is. The things that he really struggled with last year are the most easily preventable mistakes I've ever seen. There was that one play.
I already know what you're going to say. Wait, are you going to talk about the one where he bounced into?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness gracious.
There's one play against Iowa. It's a 3rd and 2.
Oh,
Wisconsin. Listen, Wisconsin's down 6-0 in the third quarter.
Oh, I don't want to talk about this play.
This was a game. They were on.
How many games is Wisconsin down 6-0 in the third quarter in last year?
Like 4? Indiana as well, at least 2.
Northwestern, they were down 7-0 forever.
Yeah.
Or like 14-7 forever.
Yeah, it was a 1-score game. They were still in it, and then they got the doors blown off late. But they're on the Iowa 30, and they're threatening. It was the best drive they had all game, and they run a jet sweep, or it was going to be a fake jet sweep. They're going to hand it off up the middle to Groshek, and Jamari DK is just 1 yard off on where he's running. He runs into the football. It's a fumble, and Iowa gets the ball. So that is just the biggest freshman mistake of all time. It sucked, but that's not something you're ever going to see again. The other one was a combination of his mistake and lack of communication with Mertz. Mertz thought he was running one route. His break wasn't as clean to get to the other route. This is against Indiana. That's an interception. So both very costly mistakes, but one that are so easily preventable. And then you look at the good, and you think there's no way he can't be an impact player because his explosiveness is jumping off the charts. We saw against Northwestern that long touchdown. Against Wake Forest, he took a couple crossers for big gains. He's fast. And once he gets that experience to feel where the defense is, and be able to sink into the holes, that'll just be next level. Once he gets the ball, he's electric. And his route running ability was pretty good last year, minus those a couple freshman gaffes. There were some flashes of really crisp route running from a guy that young. So I think you give him more snaps with Mertz, it'll only get better. I'm excited to watch him this year, again, especially when he has less attention on him than he did last year.
So we've gone a lot of minutes on this podcast without, I think, talking about the best player on the offense coming into the year. I don't know if that's a hot take. I don't really think it is.
Oh, I completely agree with it.
I don't really think it is a hot take at all. So I didn't even call it one. Jake Ferguson is your best weapon coming back this year as an offense. He's the most.
He's your best overall player.
He is. He's your best overall player. I think Jalen Berger might end up being the best weapon Wisconsin can use. But I'd say Jake Ferguson's the best overall player. And I think is probably the best weapon too. But that's an interesting debate. Jake Ferguson, though, is the guy. He's the man for Graham Mertz. He's the security blanket. He's the guy that Mertz can go to day one and expect results. He's a guy that's proven it year after year. 305 yards last year in the shortened COVID season, 4 touchdowns. A guy that's had back-to-back 400-yard receiving seasons in 2018-19 at a position, by the way, that's not easy to get or rack up yards receiving in college football. It's not usually a position where you see massive, massive receiving numbers outside of a couple schools. And Wisconsin has been one of those schools when they have the right guy, when they have a Fumagalli, when they have now a Jake Ferguson. But I know you said last year, Ben, you thought he'd lead this team in receiving. Did he? I think he did.
Yeah, he did.
And I think we could possibly see it again. And I wouldn't be surprised to see it again because he's the guy that will be on the field at all times. He'll be playing every snap. The wide receivers will probably rotate a little bit. Pryor and Davis will get the majority. But Jake Ferguson will be on the field at all times. He'll be catching the most red zone targets, I'd say. And he'll be the guy for Mertz to rely on and the guy that settles things down.
I mean, you could just look at last year and already see that he is the guy for Mertz in nearly every situation. And that was with a lot of people out. But no matter where they were on the field, it was Ferguson getting open in short yardage, over the middle, on the outside, and Mertz finding him. You're talking about his receiving, and he's a tremendous NFL caliber receiving tight end, but he's also gotten to be a pretty good blocking tight end. So like he's all around, he's a three down guy. And then you can even look behind him on the depth chart. Jack Eschenbach figures to be a solid player. Hayden Rucci as well. It's another Jake Ferguson is the star at the top, but it is another deep position. But when it's all said and done, I think Ferguson leads the team in touchdowns. Definitely. I don't know about receiving yards, but he is like, once you get down to the red zone, it's just Ferguson automatic.
I think Hayden Rucci probably slides in as the starter next year. Definitely a lot of talent behind Jake Ferguson here, but it's all Jake Ferguson coming into the year. As always on Wisconsin, we talked through three different position groups today, Ben. I feel like we got a lot covered on this offense, and we'll keep up with the position previews as the week rolls on. We still got a lot of big ones to talk about, though.
And I mean, we have to prime the people next week, getting ready for it's game week next week, getting ready for Penn State. There's obviously going to be a lot of preview. I've started to go into Penn State's season last year, but also it's bold prediction time. And you mentioned one today, but I don't want any like,
we should have, you know what we should have next week? We should have an episode that is only bold predictions.
Yes, 100%.
Let's go back and forth.
I'm not talking about they're going to beat this team kind of bold predictions. I'm talking about like, you know, super out there.
I know where your mind's going. Nobody else will think about. Yeah, I know where your mind's going here.
We'll save it for next week.
Your mind's going to that Wisconsin might have the best two linebackers in the conference. That's where your mind's going, right? Yeah, no.
That's not a bold prediction at all.
Yeah. As always, on Wisconsin, we'll see you later in the week to talk through more positions.